listening you love is on the free Odyssey app. Your trusted local radio stations, coverage of your favorite teams, live news from your hometown, and millions of podcasts on demand. Best of all, you can completely customize your listening experience. Follow topics you care about, like leagues and teams, pause or rewind your local sports and news, and add shows to your queue to catch up later. There's a lot to listen to, so get started and download the free Odyssey app today.
Hour number four of our radio program. We're coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. Whether you're looking to purchase a new home or refinance yours, Rocket Mortgage can help you get there. For home loan solutions that fit your life well, Rocket can. It's been the game of the year so far in the NFL. Vikings and Bills, what a contest that was 2 days ago on Sunday as Minnesota does prevail in overtime. And a man that was at the stadium for the Vikings radio network is the former Vikings linebacker and a good friend of the Zach Gelb Show in Ben Lieber. Ben, how you been?
Zach, I've been great, man. How you doing?
I'm doing fantastic. Just take me through how you processed that game on Sunday. I saw one video of you today jumping up and down on the sideline like a maniac, and it was awesome. But how'd you process that one?
Well, I think I kind of have to echo a lot of what the players were saying after the game. They were like, hey, man, we have no words. We have no words to describe what just happened. And that's kind of the truth. I mean, it's, you know, was it an awesome game? Yes. Was it wild? Yes. Was it straight bananas? Yes. Like every emphatic word you can come up with, it's like it almost hits it, but not quite. There's just not a word that I think that's strong enough to describe the ups and downs, the ebbs and flows. You know, there that one point in time, you know, when we didn't score right at basically the 6-inch line, it was defeat. You know, you were defeated. You were like, okay, well, let's start thinking about what this almost win kind of means for this team. And then all of a sudden, the next series of events is just bananas and we win the game, you know?
Yeah, when Jefferson makes that catch, I'm like, okay, they're going to go then get down the field and get a touchdown. Then you're at the one-yard line. Even after Dalvin Cook drops the ball, I go, oh, yeah, they'll go get that play. And once they don't get it, I'm like, oh, yeah, the game's over. And then when the fumble occurred, I go, oh, maybe it's a safety, who knows? And then when it was a touchdown, like that was the craziest part of that game. There were so many moments. The Jefferson catch, I thought it was picked at first. The fumble, I thought maybe it was a safety, then it's a touchdown. It's like you weren't even able to see any of these crazy plays actually happen.
I know. Well, the funny thing is the Justin Jefferson 4th and 18 catch.
Yeah.
I was you know, kind of right there, maybe 10 yards away from him. And I knew it was a great catch. I was kind of like, you know, in that moment, just celebrating the fact that, like, he caught it. And then it wasn't until after the game that I saw the replay. And, like, I didn't realize, even in real time, because it happened so fast, that, man, the defender had, you know, 10 fingers on the ball at one point in time. Like, he had it, the ball secured. And I don't know how he came down with that. So I was more in awe after the fact. Because, you know, everything just kind of happened so accelerated. It was the catch, and then it was like, you know, the offense running up to the line of scrimmage, and then it was like, holy cow, I can't believe we just caught that, and where we moved the chains. Like, all of that was just happening so fast. I didn't get a full appreciation until after the game of just how incredible that catch was.
Ben Lieber here with us. This is a really likable team, and I'm saying that from afar. You're tapped in, but just from afar, having no dog in the fight, this is an easy team to root for this year in Minnesota.
Yeah, you know, that's not the first time I've ever heard anybody really say that about a team. So I do appreciate that. I do think that's – I feel the same way. There's a lot of likable characters and players on the team, you know, starting with, you know, the GM and the head coach. They are really genuine, nice guys, you know, and they kind of built a staff that reflects all of that. You know, the staff is really easy to work with. They're just a bunch of normal guys that obviously are football guys, but they're not, you know, they don't have this air of, you know, ego and, you know, this bravado that, you know, I think some old school coaches kind of walk around with. So they're all very approachable. The players, the same thing, you know, starting with Zadarius, you know, adding him in the offseason, he's been nothing but just a ball of sunshine. Like every time he's around the media, he's just big smiles and he's gregarious, and he and Daniil are pounding around trying to create this dynamic duo, and it's kind of working out right now. So Kirk, obviously, with Kirko, it's kind of taken the whole NFL by storm. I mean, they're just having a lot of fun. And I do think that they are just a likable team and an easy team to root for.
Are you going to start dressing up like how Kirk Cousins dresses up after a game?
No. The funny thing is...
Come on, Ben. I saw you TikToking when the pandemic started. I think you could dress, put the chains on and start taking your shirt off and dancing like Kirk Cousins.
Zach, I gotta admit, man, I didn't realize that he had that good of a body. I'm like, I've been out of the league for over 10 years now. Like, I don't have a body like that. So Nick Kirk can pull it off way better than I can right now.
And it seems like in that locker room, people know what the narrative is about Kirk Cousins. And I've said it before. I think he's a good quarterback, a very good quarterback. Come postseason time, we'll see in put-up or shut-up moments if he's going to be consistently able to deliver. This team's really rallied around the way that their quarterback is talked about, though.
Yeah, they really have. I think, internally I've heard for a number of years that they know that, Kirk is not exactly the persona that everybody thinks that he is. This guy that, basically drives a van at times and it's kind of leans into this dorky dad character. He does have some of that to him, but they've seen a different side of him in the locker room. And I think this year, now that he has full ownership of the team and they're not walking on eggshells, they're just letting Kirk just, let it fly. And they've embraced it. They obviously encourage it, which is a lot of fun. But they also know that he's just a genuine guy that is, has his silly moments, can be a dorky dad at times too, and they're cool with that.
Is it just as simple as a new coach comes in, and you made it clear on this show a few months ago that Ben Lieber with us, that Kirk Cousins and Mike Zimmer didn't get along and Mike Zimmer didn't like Kirk Cousins? Is it just as simple as a new coaching staff gives this team a new sense of belief and that's why they're 8-1?
Yeah, I don't think it's that simple, but it certainly helps. I think every new coaching change has an opportunity with a clean slate and to create a new culture, and every coach talks about that. And it's just been fortunate that this is a culture that the guys have bought into. And I don't think there's really one exact ingredient that went in that's like all of a sudden poof and it's completely different. I think from the very start, KOC had a plan. He was very confident in his plan and in his approach. The players bought into it, pretty quickly. And obviously, when you start railing off some wins and you start proving that you are a resilient team, that's just going to build confidence. And then the buy-in to what the methodology is just going to go deeper and deeper. So, yeah, I know how wins can kind of do that. Sometimes they can make you sweep some things under the rug. But I think in this situation, it's full-on buy-in to their process and to their culture.
When it comes to Jim Harbaugh, we know that they were clearly talking, they had that 8-9 hour interview process that never ended in that one day. Were they ever close to hiring him?
I don't think so. I think that there were some people that I think really enjoyed his interview and they liked his personality and they liked his style. And then I heard there's equal parts that are like, no, that's not really the direction we want to go. Nothing against him. It's just, we want to go a little bit, younger, a different sort of energy and a different vibe. So I don't think it was as close as maybe we thought at the time. But it was worth kicking the tires on and just see if he, blew everybody out of the water. I mean, it was worth a try.
Hey, 8-1 is 8-1. That Minnesota fan base, though, has been tortured throughout the years. Where's the confidence of the fan base right now?
I think until... Honestly, Zach, until they actually hoist the Lombardi, I don't think that there's going to be a scenario where the fan base isn't just waiting for the other shoe to drop. I mean, I hate to say it like that. I just think that, they've been tortured for so many years. They've had some teams that have just been absolutely electric, and you feel like, they are the team to beat, and they get let down. So I understand it. I get it. I think the difference, though, is this year is the fan base really is – taking it like the team is, like sort of game by game. They're just like, hey, this is great. Let's just enjoy every single win and not look too far out. I haven't heard anybody that's realistic about like, oh man, I'm buying my playoff tickets now, or I'm going to get my plane ticket to Arizona. Like, none of that stuff is happening. They're just, I think they're very honest about where the team is. they understand that even this weekend, they're like, hey, we're underdogs at home against Dallas. Like, we still have things to prove. So I kind of like the mentality where the fan base is now.
Where's your confidence level at, though, that this could be a Super Bowl team? Because for me, before this year started, I thought Ben Lieber, Minnesota was going to be a wild card team. I didn't think they'd win the division. Now they're clearly going to win the division. But with how open the NFL is this year, I kind of say, why not? Like, why can't they get to a Super Bowl?
Yeah, I mean, that's obviously at the beginning of the year, we didn't know what the rest of the league was going to look like. But now that we've seen it, we've seen, you know, basically the best that the AFC has to offer. And we've, you know, played the other, you know, top contender in week two in Philadelphia. We're right there. Like, there's no reason to say that, you know, those teams are so much better than us or we don't deserve to be there. Like, absolutely, we have proven that this is a talented football team. We knew that going into the season. They had a lot of talent on the roster. They just had to find that belief and that consistency. And I got to be honest with you, we really haven't found that consistency. Like, we're winning all these close games because they're making the plays when they need to make them. And that there is something to that. Like, you've got to do that as a championship team. But we haven't played consistent football. We haven't always stopped the run when we needed to. We haven't always picked up first downs when we need to. You know, the running game seems to be there sometimes, and then we go away from it. So I don't think that we've seen our best ball yet, and I think there's a lot of hope in that as well.
I will say, though, I think this week is a tricky spot for you guys. Coming off that big win, Dallas then coming off that game that they blew in the fourth quarter. What do you think decides it this weekend, Vikings hosting the Cowboys?
You know, I definitely think that the emotional part of it is going to play into it. Although, you know, we've just seen how this team can bounce back, and they really trust in sort of the recovery process. You know, we saw that when they came back from London. You know, the very next game, they had every right to kind of feel like a little bit of a lull, and they went out there and played really well and played with a lot of energy. So I think that they're going to come back and, you know, put this game to bed and get ready for Dallas. You know, I obviously think that, you know, establishing Dalvin Cook more and more is going to be a key part of this. And, you know, you've got to slow down that pass rush from Dallas. And that's number one. You know, we could be without Christian Darrisaw. And, you know, they start putting Micah Parsons and other rushers, you know, premier rushers on that left side of the offense, then that could be the recipe for them for success. So we got to slow them down, keep them on their heels, and let's see if we can find some offensive balance this game.
Through what you've seen through the first 10 weeks of the season, who's the team, Ben Lieber, that you trust the most in the NFL this year?
That I trust the most? I don't know, man. The team that we just played, I think, I still think that, you know, even though they've had some hiccups, I think Buffalo is the most well-rounded team. You know, Philadelphia, to me, feels like, when we played them in week two, that's about as good as they're going to get. I think that's just kind of who they are. They kind of already peaked, I feel like, to me. And we got their best shot. I think Buffalo, when you look at it, you're always going to have this X factor, that is Josh Allen. You know, really good receivers. And that defense, you know, it's hard to find a team in this league that is so explosive offensively, but then their defense, when they get healthy and they get Poyer back, you know, that's going to be, you know, they're going to stay right up there in the top five in basically every category. So that, to me, is still probably the most balanced team right now.
I would say, yeah, they're still the most balanced team. But the team I trust the most is Kansas City. Just because in a year that's so open and how many young coaches you have, Reed and then having the best player in Mahomes, that's why I start to lean Kansas City. But Kansas City did lose to Buffalo this year.
Yeah, again, I don't trust Kansas City's defense. You know, that's one part of their... I think they can make some plays. They have some pass rushers. I get all that stuff. But I think consistently to stop the run and really be the aggressors on defense, I think they're opportunistic. I just don't really trust their defense as much as I do Buffalo's.
By the way, the Vikings defense, we talked about that heading into the season. Za'Darius Smith, this offseason, people knew that was a good offseason move, but no one knew it was going to be one of the better offseason moves of this past year. Where's your confidence level with this Vikings defense or what you've seen through the first 10?
Well, I know that those guys can go out and make plays in critical moments. That's the
yeah.
big thing.
Especially Patrick Peterson. That dude's not old.
Especially Patrick Peterson. He's been unreal these last, you know, three or four games. But my confidence is growing and growing. You know, at the start of the season, I was a little leery just because we weren't getting after the quarterback. We were sticking to this idea that we were going to be a drop seven team and not have to blitz, and pressure with five and six guys. And that was a little concerning because I'm like, well, look, it's great if you can drop seven, but if your front four is not getting the job done, then we're going to have some issues. And that's gotten a lot better. And that's where I think my confidence is growing is they've stuck to the game plan from the very start of the season. They love that they can mix and match with some pass rushers up front. DJ Wanham's, you know, been a nice, you know, he's ascending in the right direction, training in the right direction with Patrick Jones, another young guy that's it's a good rusher that can spell Dalvin Tomlinson. When he is healthy, he is a monster on the inside. I can't believe a guy that big can be that quick and get that vertical. And then even Harrison Phillips in his kind of a revenge game against Buffalo, I think had eight or nine pressures himself. So our big guys who we rely on just to stop the run can stay in there on third down and give us some pressure. So this front four is getting a lot better. And so for that, I got a big growing confidence in this defense.
I'm also still surprised you guys were able to get Hockenson. I know you gave up, a nice price for it in draft compensation, but I was surprised that Detroit traded him in division to you guys.
I was too, man. He's already, already an absolute stud.
Especially in that offense with how many weapons you have, he's like a third or fourth option.
I know. That's the thing. Like he's always going to see single coverage. I mean, I can't imagine there'll be a lot of times where they're going to double cover him and then leave, Thielen and JJ and KJ Osborne, one-on-one on the outside or, and then, we do go five wide. So then you get Dalvin Cook split out as well. What are you going to do? And we speculated with that, the whole week when we picked him up, like how this offense is going to look. And then in his very first game, I think he had, nine catches on nine targets. It was unreal. And like three or four chain moving plays. So he's an immediate impact player. He fits into this offense perfectly. And, kudos to him for picking up the offense so quickly.
Before we let you run, Ben Lieber, one college football question. At the end of the year, who's the four teams in the college football playoff, in your opinion?
Oh, let's see. Georgia. It's not going to be my K-State Wildcats because...
Had a good year, though.
TCU, I wasn't a believer at first, but, the way they went down to Texas and handled them, I think they can actually do it, so... Let's go those two teams.
Ohio State or Michigan?
Oh, yeah. Ohio State. Would they put Michigan in too? I don't know.
Probably Tennessee, I would think.
It's not going to be Alabama. It's not going to be – I don't think they're going to get two SEC teams in this year.
Well, here would be the big debate. Does Tennessee get in one loss, no SEC champion, or if, let's just say, Pac-12 champ is USC, would they get in – even though USC doesn't have these real dominant victories this year?
Well, you know how this all works,
Tennessee,
right?
Yeah.
Well, actually, I mean,
but USC's a major brand.
I was going to go the other way, though. I was going to say, I think that people want to see Lincoln Riley. I think they want to see this dynamic offense that can stretch the field and throw the ball down the field. So, I don't know, man. I think if it came down to those two, I think they take USC.
Ben Lieber, always appreciate the time. Thanks so much. You're the best.
All right. Thanks, Zach.
Zach Gelb Show, CBS Sports Radio.
The listening you love is on the free Odyssey app. Your trusted local radio stations, coverage of your favorite teams, live news from your hometown, and millions of podcasts on demand. Best of all, you can completely customize your listening experience. Follow topics you care about, like leagues and teams, pause or rewind your local sports and news, and add shows to your queue to catch up later. There's a lot to listen to, so get started and download the free Odyssey app today.
You're listening to the Zach Gelb Show.
Zach Gelb Show, CBS Sports Radio. I kind of lied to the listening audience. It was expected that the college football playoff announcement was going to be at 9 p.m. Eastern time tonight. It is now 9:24 p.m. Eastern. There's been no announcement yet of the new rankings. That's because Kentucky and Michigan State's in overtime, and it's 67-67 with 2:06 to go in the extra session. So we will not get the college football playoff announcement. Maybe we'll get it in the final segment of the show, Hickey. Because if this game doesn't go to a second overtime and it ends in 2 minutes, you do a little post-game interview. They have to revise, really, the whole college football show, I would imagine they may give that college football show pretty quickly. They may try to go through that pretty quickly.
Well, I guess the only thing is they're doing it in between. It's a doubleheader, yes. Right? So the amount of time is not changing. So
yes.
I don't think that overtime, unfortunately for us, is going to expedite, let's say, the show where they just, you know, they get, all right, let's go to the top four right away. I think they'll do the same old 25 to 21.
What I'm saying is I think there may be more time for analysis tonight. And since they are so late to getting to the rankings and everyone just wants to see the rankings, I think they may expedite the actual announcement of the rankings just slightly.
I hope you're right. But also, you know, with TV, they always like to drag it out, get you at least to one, two commercial breaks, hang around. So I hope we don't get teased, but my money's not betting on it.
I think it's pretty simple tonight. Now, we don't need to go, we're not going to do, oh, here's the order 1 through 25. But the top seven, Georgia, Ohio State, Michigan, TCU, Tennessee, I think it will be LSU, then USC, and as you brought up earlier, the only real debate is probably LSU or USC. Do you flip-flop them? Like, personally, I do believe Michigan's better than Ohio State, but I think the way that the rankings have gone so far will be Georgia, Ohio State, Michigan, TCU, Tennessee, LSU, and USC, Hickey.
And especially too with how, you know, it is kind of a week-by-week basis. Ohio State, even though you're probably right that Michigan has looked more consistent and more dominant in their time this season, when you blow at Indiana the way Ohio State did, I don't think there's much that you could say, oh, Michigan deserves to pop over. But you're right, I'm interested.
If they didn't do it last week, I don't think they're changing
right,
it this week.
Right. It's not going to happen this week. And then it's really
irrelevant
anyway.
Maybe they do, though, for
anyway.
The sake of conversation, because it's such an inane thing to really debate 2-3 because they're going to play
right.
next week.
So it doesn't really matter.
So I doubt they do it, but if they go, oh, let's get a reaction out of people, maybe we'll do it that
let's
way.
Let's put on number one. Michigan, number one.
Yeah. Also, I saw from Josina Anderson that she had a report out that there's been some talks about some of the most tenured coaches in the NFL potentially contemplating retirement this year or next year. So a little bit vague, but when you go through the most tenured coaches in the league right now, well, the top 10, Frank Reich is now out of the conversation. He got fired. So do you know who then moves up into the 10th spot? Most tenure coaches in the NFL?
Frank Reich was 4.5 years. Wow, first of all, that's just incredible, the turnover in the NFL where you're talking about a guy not even there that long.
Well, it's kind of a tie. You could guess three guys, and you would be right on any of them.
Mike Vrabel?
Mike Vrabel was there a year before.
Okay.
No. They were the same. They came in the same time. He's 9.
So Mike Vrabel. Oh, this is really tough. Wow.
You go to one coaching tree. The good-looking coaching tree. All the good-looking coaches in the NFL.
Oh, McVay, Shanahan.
No, McVay's earlier.
Shanahan was 2018? No, was he 2017?
Shanahan is 2017. You're looking in the 2019 category. Your favorite guy.
My favorite guy?
Your favorite guy. He was hired January 2019.
My favorite guy?
Yes, your favorite guy.
It's not Bill Belichick. It's not Josh McDaniels. It's not Pete Carroll.
He's not actually your favorite guy.
I know. That's why I just listed those three guys who aren't. I have no idea.
You trash this guy all the time.
Cliff Kingsbury.
Yes. Cliff Kingsbury, LaFleur, and Zach Taylor. Technically, it's Kingsbury and LaFleur are tied because they were both hired January 8th, 2019.
And they're the 10th longest. Mm-hmm. That's insane.
And Zach Taylor was hired February 2019 because the Rams were in the Super Bowl and they lost.
Wow.
So anyway, who could these coaches be? Like, I don't think Belichick's retiring. He's trying to break the Shula record. Is Mike Tomlin going to walk away and reset from the Steelers? Like, that would seem... I said this before and I'll say it again. If Mike Tomlin leaves the Steelers after this year, that would benefit Mike Tomlin more than it would benefit the Steelers. So
especially
it could be
a
Mike Tomlin argument... But also, that doesn't seem like Mike Tomlin doesn't see a guy that's going to walk away this offseason. You would agree with that, right?
I would agree.
John Harbaugh? Lamar's going to be there next year.
I was just going to say, your Super Bowl window is right now, so you're not going to, like, you would think you'd walk away for a situation that's maybe you're still far away. Like, Sean Payton, he walked away because the Saints kind of far away.
They didn't have a quarterback.
Let's call for what it is, right? Yeah. They're kind of far away from Super Bowl contentions. I'd screw them out of here. Trying to think, like, Andy Reid's in the middle of the prime. Like,
well,
you mentioned John Harbaugh.
I'm going through the list right now. So, Belichick 1, Tomlin 2, Harbaugh 3. Pete Carroll's 4. There's Pete is 71. The guy looks like he's like 51. He's not going anywhere. Are you thinking maybe he gives everyone the middle finger this year and rides off into the sunset? Is that what you're thinking?
I don't know if it's the middle finger per se. Like, I wonder if he's one of those guys that wants, like, kind of like what Bruce Arians said, like a good setup. Like if he has an assistant or like that he like really likes and says, you know what, this is your kind of time to shine here, and I'm going to hand it over to you while it's still good. Kind of like what Bruce Arians did, whether, you know, you want to talk about it.
Like Shane Waldron?
If it was his, you know, own decision to retire or not. But, yeah, like, I don't know. If he was to walk away, then that would make the most sense.
Andy Reid, does he hand it over to Bieniemy?
I don't think so.
I would be surprised by that. McDermott, no shot. Is it Sean McVay? There was retirement talk last year, but he just signed an extension.
I think he'll be back there's a report of what he's tied to, like those 10,
Stafford.
You know, Stafford, Donald, Jalen Ramsey, Cooper Kupp. I think two more years at least.
Shanahan? I don't think it's Shanahan. Unless he goes, you guys made me draft this guy, Trey Lance. Screw you, John Lynch. I'll go elsewhere. I don't think that's going to happen.
Maybe he took his own advice, realized every day is not guaranteed. I could wake up dead tomorrow, so I'll just start living my life.
That is true. I don't know who our quarterback's going to be. I could be dead tomorrow. That's great. Vrabel's not going to resign. Kingsbury, the only way he resigns is if he realizes he's going to get fired. LaFleur won't. Zach Taylor won't. It's like we just went through the top 12 longest tenure coaches.
And do you think Bill Belichick, like, are we sure?
No,
like,
shot.
So he's, I forget the exact number, but that's like he needs to win, what, basically 10 games a year for the next, like, 3 years to catch Shula? Is that about right?
Something like that, yeah.
30-ish, maybe 40 wins away?
It's definitely possible. Like,
it's possible.
Everyone dumps on Belichick since Brady left. The guy won 10 games last year, and the team is 5-4 this year.
They're 5-4 now. Are they a great team? Clearly not.
No one's going to say that.
I just wonder if you're Bill, like, see it where it's too far away and it's just like, you know what? I'm going to get out now. Maybe Linda Holiday is like, you know what, Bill, I need you home.
Yeah, I don't think that's the case.
I don't know what Bill would do without football, to be honest, but.
So I believe this was on October 22nd that his 325 wins are still 22 behind Don Shula.
Okay, it's actually a lot closer.
So it's closer than what you would think.
So that's 3 years if things don't get cleaned
up.
That
was on October 30th. He's had.
Beat the Colts. I think that's it, right?
Yeah, and then you hit the bye week.
The Jets.
I think it's 21 wins away.
So probably, again.
You're probably going to get like three or four more.
Two and a half years.
At least this year, yeah. Yeah, I don't think he's going to walk away. Belichick also, he still loves the game. He still loves to mess with the media. He still loves to do crazy things. I don't think he's retiring. Marco, was there a coach, because you were just sitting here. Was there a coach here that you heard that you were like, from this Josina Anders report that some of the most tenured coaches of the league are thinking about retiring? Is there a coach that you hear, Belichick, Tomlin, Harbaugh, Pete Carroll, Andy Reid, McDermott, McVay, Shanahan, Vrabel, Kingsbury, LaFleur, Zach Taylor? You're like, oh, is one of them could be walking away maybe mysteriously?
Doesn't sound like it. The only one that's possible just because there's been so many rumors and dancing for the last few years would be Harbaugh. For some reason, there's been a lot of talk in the last few years. He did sign that extension, so maybe that finally quiets everything down. Yeah. Lamar Jackson likely back, whether it's the franchise or an extension, but there's been smoke there for the last few years, which is surprising because it's not like he's done a masterful job with Baltimore. So maybe just because there's been some smoke there, but that's the only one.
And he's been there forever. So
that's the only one that I could see. I mean,
maybe. Now, I don't think this guy is, but if I had to take a guess at anyone that says, I guess I would just say Andy Reid. Maybe he goes, I'll hand it over to Bieniemy. I've won my Super Bowl. If you win one this year, maybe he walks and says, I got two. I'm good.
I mean,
but I don't feel good about that.
It's always possible, but Andy Reid strikes me as a lifer. There are certain guys that don't want to walk away. Like you say, well, you know, Dusty Baker, why wouldn't you leave after the top? There's just some guys that just want to do it. Period. They just want to be there. They want to be around it. They want to smell the, you know, they just want it. There's not the Bill Parcells where they burn out constantly. They come back because they miss it, but they burn out. Belichick's a lifer. Andy Reid's a lifer. Like, there's some guys that just, they don't know what else to do other than to be a football coach.
By the way, I never reacted to this on the air, but for some reason when you said Dusty Baker, this triggered a thought. Isn't it crazy the GM of the Astros, they offered that 1 year extension. Then he goes, yeah, I'm not taking it. And then, you know, he's out of a job, James Click.
Something
doesn't smell
right.
Something is bizarre there.
Makes you wonder if Crane is more involved than he needs to be.
That's what I thought too.
And Click sees the writing on the wall and he says, you know what?
That's a slap in the face. You're
offering me a 1-year deal. Like, obviously, you don't want me. Yeah. You don't trust me. You don't believe in me. So,
hey, Mark, you've done a great job. You just did a championship award winning update. Here's a 30-day extension.
Yeah, like, it just doesn't make a lot of sense. So, for a Click to take that would be ridiculous. Now, I understand what he was maybe the thought process was try to keep you and Dusty Baker in line because Baker's only going to get a 1-year deal. But, you know, I'm sure Click's response is, I'm 44. Not 74.
Yes.
And that's not my problem. You know what I mean? Like, I'll find the next manager if Dusty decides to walk away.
And don't get me, Dusty Baker is a great manager, Hall of Famer. We all know that. How many times now is it the GM's really the manager, you know, and you just, once Dusty Baker leaves, you could just recycle, like, kind of a puppet in there?
Well, I mean, yeah, to a point. But I don't want to disparage Dusty in that regard.
No, I'm not saying that about Dusty, but...
It's just the idea that, I mean... Again,
the next guy.
He's 70-something years old. Yeah. Like, I mean, what are you going to give him, a 7-year deal? Like, you're not going to extend him for a long period of time. And Dusty Baker, he's a lifer. You want to go on a 1-year deal? Fine. I'll go on a 1-year deal. Like, I'll keep doing this every year. And we keep going back to the LCS or the World Series and keep winning. You'll want me back. So I'm cool with that.
By the way, Hickey, I want to play this Jerry Jones, Odell Beckham thing here for Marco Belletti, because we tried to interpret this earlier, and this is 49 seconds where, if you've seen the movie Billy Madison, it's just incoherent rambling, and we're all dumber for having to hear it. This was Jerry Jones on 105.3 The Fan in Dallas on why the Cowboys haven't signed Odell Beckham. I want you to intently listen, Marco, and try to tell me what the bleep this guy was talking about.
In this particular case, start by asking, why is it that you're able to sign him? Ask that question. Why? Well, because he's not on the team at this time of year, a player of that caliber. That's rare. Trading's over. Well, it is because we're dealing with a situation where he's free, but potentially very capable of helping a team right now win and play and him play at a high level. But that'll tell you alone, it is a rarefied set of circumstances, and those are don't just happen, or this wouldn't be possible.
So why haven't Odell Beckham?
What was the question?
It was, why hasn't the Cowboys signed Odell Beckham Jr. yet?
I don't know if... somebody has to tell Jerry Jones why Odell is actually available and why he's out there and why you're able to sign him now. It's because
he was hurt. In the Super Bowl.
I'm not sure if he knows that. I think maybe somebody has to sit him down and let him know that. Wow. That was the question, and that's the answer you got out of that?
Mm-hmm.
Oof.
Yeah. That was tough. When Hickey played that for me earlier, I'm like, what?
Look, you don't want to say too much.
Yeah. But there's no tampering.
Well, no, but you don't want to say too much. I mean,
You don't want to tip your hands in negotiations. Oh, that's screwed. Yeah, he already tipped his hand.
I know, the star on the helmet and all that. I know. Try to put it together. It's almost to the point where we need to have this weekly spot just because we need this. But at the same time, someone needs to get into Jerry Jones' ear and say, you don't need to be doing this weekly spot anymore.
Have Steven just take it all.
You're hurting yourself every time you open up that mic. It's just, that's a mess.
It is the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. We're definitely not getting the college football playoff rankings during this show because now it is in double overtime between Kentucky and Michigan State. So, Hickey, we lied to the listening audience. We said we were going to give them the college football playoff rankings in the final hour of the show. It's not going to happen.
It's not our fault. Blame Kentucky's defense for twice allowing giving baskets to Michigan State at the end of regulation overtime to tie it up.
Maybe Mark Stoops is right. Maybe that is a football school right now, not a basketball school.
They could
school.
Use some defense.
You're listening to the Zach Gelb Show.
Wrapping up shop, Zach Gelb Show, CBS Sports Radio. Final poll question results of the day. Hickey, if you had to take a guess, right now, do you think the Chiefs are the best team in the NFL? How many said yes?
57%.
Wrong. Give you another guess.
53%.
Wrong.
Am I going in the right direction or going the wrong direction?
From where you initially started?
Yes. From guess one and guess two.
The right direction.
Jeez. 47.
Close.
45?
Yep. 45% say right now, do you think the Chiefs are the best team in the NFL? I think they are. Because I'll trust Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes right now the most. When you look at the other teams, Josh Allen, Sean McDermott, Tua Tagovailoa, Mike McDaniel, John Harbaugh, Lamar Jackson, Nick Sirianni, Jalen Hurts, Kevin O'Connell, Kirk Cousins, Jimmy Garoppolo, Kyle Shanahan, even Tom Brady, Todd Bowles, like whoever the contending teams are. And I know it's more than just coach and quarterback, but in a year that's so open, I think that's maybe what could decide this. And that defense will be able to get timely stops. They're not great defense, but they have shown the ability this year to make a timely stop. Let's get to the closing bell.
Another day is in the books, and we're taking stock of the sports world. It's time to find out who's up and who's down. Let's end the day right and hit the closing bell. Only on the Zach Gelb Show.
Taylor Ham Heineke. Unbelievable. I know he wasn't great, but Carson Wentz was 2-4 as a starter. Taylor Ham Heineke is 3-1 as a starter this year for the Commanders. And the Commanders, not that I think they're going to the playoffs, but they have at least got me intrigued again. And they have salvaged their season when it looked like it was all but over. And now they're sitting in at 5-5. Nice job there by the Commanders. Give them a stock up going into Philadelphia and getting a win up against the Eagles last night. Hickey, he's done it again. Pete Davidson. Few weeks ago, wasn't this guy dating Kim Kardashian?
Yeah. Before that, another, you know, hot box rocks.
Now, Emily Ratajkowski.
Not bad.
I would love to be Pete Davidson. Goofy looking, funny. And you're just able to date all these unbelievably looking women. Yeah. It's not a bad time to be Pete Davidson. Think about that. He goes from Kim K to Emily Ratajkowski. And by the way, the ugly looking actor, I think the guy was an actor that cheated on Emily, is a schmuck. How do you cheat on Emily Ratajkowski? Right? That guy was an actor, I think.
I don't know his background. One of my friends has this saying that I guess rings true in this one, which I would disagree with. But they say a new 6 is better than an old 9. I guess that's that guy's philosophy. That's the only explanation?
Yeah. Well, first off, she's a 10.
That's just how the saying goes, but I would agree, but hey.
Sebastian Bear McClard, I think the guy's name is. Sebastian. Let's see what he's a film producer. Moron. That may be the dumbest man on the planet. But maybe the smartest man on the planet is Pete Davidson. Give him a stock up. The Defensive Player of the Week is sponsored by the Navy Federal Credit Union, who proudly serves the Armed Forces, DOD, veterans, and their families. Their members are the mission. Learn more at NavyFederal.org. TCU linebacker Johnny Hodges tallied 11 tackles and 1.5 tackles for loss in Saturday's 17-10 win over Texas. The Longhorns were shut out in the first half at home for the first time since 1997, as the Horned Frogs defense held Texas to just 199 yards and 0 offensive touchdowns in the win. Give the TCU defense a stock up. I guess it's going to be a quick basketball season if you're one of those Syracuse alum who are in the media, because your school for the second year in a row just lost to Colgate. And last year, on November 20th, 2021, when they lost 100-85, and I just saw this tweet via Barstool, Syracuse basketball's official Twitter said, "One will learn from." A year later, they lose 80-68. Hate to see it. All those media members, "Oh, Newhouse is the best. Oh, Syracuse is the best. We're unbelievable. We're great. You suck. We're superior. You're inferior." They always chirp when the team gets a win. Where are they right now? Where are you? Stock down. Did Jimmy Boeheim and the Syracuse basketball program. Sell! And finally, Carson Wentz. Your career came and went. Jeez. 2-4. And Taylor Ham Heineke comes in 3-1. There is no way. If Ron Rivera knows what's in the best interest of his football team, the way that this team has rallied around Taylor Ham Heineke, I'm not saying that he's got to be the guy the rest of the year, but he deserves to be the starter until he shows you he shouldn't be the starter. You cannot bench him against the Texans. Stock down to the great, my BFF, Carson Wentz. And that's the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. A wonderful edition of our program on this very fine Tuesday. Big thanks to Kalen DeBoer for stopping by. Also, Christian Watson from the Green Bay Packers. Really did thoroughly enjoy that conversation. And then Ben Lieber is always a blast when he joins us. We'll be back tomorrow at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 Pacific, across many of these same CBS Sports Radio affiliates, Sirius XM, Channel 158, and that free Odyssey app. Michigan State prevails over Kentucky in double overtime. Izzo, very fired up. And it's not March. We'll be back tomorrow. We'll talk college football, playoff reaction, all that stuff. Hickey, thank you as always. Thank you to all of you. We out. Bye-bye. Peace.
The listening you love is on the free Odyssey app. Your trusted local radio stations. Coverage of your favorite teams. Live news from your hometown. And millions of podcasts on demand. Best of all, you can completely customize your listening experience. Follow topics you care about, like leagues and teams. Pause or rewind your local sports and news, and add shows to your queue to catch up later. There's a lot to listen to, so get started and download the free Odyssey app today.